Perhaps we could start our meeting by singing together number 224. Number 224, "Oh, that we never might forget what Christ has suffered for our sake, to save our souls and make us meet of all his glory to partake. But keeping this in mind, press on to glory and the victor's crown." Number 224, someone raise the tune, please. Pray together. Our God and our Father, we come before Thee this afternoon with thanksgiving. We thank Thee for Thy love, Father, for the Lord Jesus, for one whose love exceeds our highest thoughts. We thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee we were allowed to open it and share from its pages that revelation of the glorious one that fills Thy heart, Father, and fills ours too. And we thank Thee for Thy character, Lord Jesus, not only in the giving of Thyself and in Thy perfect sacrifice, but Thy living for us now in the glory and Thy willingness to bless and encourage and restore. And we thank Thee for every opportunity, Father, where we can be together in simplicity with liberty to be exposed to Thy Word. And we pray this afternoon, owning our weakness and our small thoughts and our wayward with our speech and our inability to communicate properly, we pray that Thou wouldst help us in what we say, and also even for those things that are not said, that Thy Spirit might bring thoughts to dear ones here to encourage them along and to bless them. So we thank Thee for this occasion, for this conference, and we confide in Thee, we trust in Thee for blessing in this meeting, Father, and we ask it for the glory and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been enjoying some thoughts in this wonderful book here. And it's in Philemon. The book of Philemon, the 13th epistle of Paul. I'm sure many of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. But now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Well, here's another 13 here. And it's the 13th epistle of Paul. And you know, we might neglect this little book of Philemon and read it by the way and say, well, here's a little side communication of Paul to one called Philemon. But I wonder if we could consider it in a different character this afternoon and consider it as the last communication of a man of God who intimately knew the Lord Jesus, and he walked with him in his life and experienced his training, you might say, in his pathway. And writing from his heart to a brother that was dear to his heart. You know, because Christianity, you know, it's a big thing in the world. It's a great house. But a house doesn't have feelings, does it? And I believe Christianity is made of relationships and feelings and belongings. Of belongings to the Lord Jesus and to one another. And I've enjoyed some thoughts in connection with Philemon. In this connection, which I'd like to share with you. If I said to you today, maybe you've heard it today, and maybe you said it yourself, you say, how are you? That's pretty current, we say it all the time, and the answer is fine in you. That's not really deep, because if you stop to think about it, what did they mean when they said, how are you? Did they really care? And did I really consider my answer? And I'd like to ask you this afternoon, ask myself, how are you? How are you? These are the last days, moments before the Lord Jesus comes. I say, how are you? If I ask the Lord Jesus the same question, I say, how is he? How's Michelle? How's Peter, James, John, Paul, Mary, Louise? Doesn't matter. What would he say? You know, you and I, we bear a glorious name. A name by association. We're associated with this one we were speaking about this morning. The Lord of glory. The Lord Jesus. We're called Christians because we're associated with his name. And with his person. And with his character. Will you read Philemon? Well, Philemon, his name, means loving. And if I ask the Lord, how is Philemon? Perhaps the Lord would say, Philemon, he's loving. There was love active in his life. He's loving. Another man, if you read in Timothy, 2 Timothy, there's Philetus. The prefix F-H-I-L there in the Greek means love. Has to do with love. And Philetus means lovable. But he was a man making trouble, saying that resurrection had already passed. And he was a stumbling block to the faith of many others because of his activity. And maybe he was a nice personality. He was lovable, drawing love to himself, but doing harm to others, as his name would tell us. But Philemon, he was loving. Not that he was looking for love. He was a dispenser of love. That's what his name means anyway. And if we read the epistle, we'll find out that there's truth in that as to Philemon's character. So I ask you today, my dear brother, my dear sister, how are you? Are you loving? You might be lovable, but are you loving? Are you one that spreads the love of God around you, that love that He shed in your heart by His Spirit? Is that what characterizes you as a person? Are you a loving person? People who know you, do they know something of the love of God through having contact with you? You brothers and sisters in Christ, members of your family, people you work with, have they been touched with the love of the Lord through something you've said or done or haven't said and haven't done out of love? How are you, my dear brother, my dear sister, today? It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. You know, if you're going to give love, you can only give love if you receive love. And you and I, we cannot give love until we have received the love of God. That love beyond all measure. Love beyond all thought. Love that eternity will not exhaust the appreciation of. You and I are the objects of such love. Enabled by God's power now to love the same way He loved. My commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There's a model. There's that reality of love to be enjoyed and then to be shared with others. So he says, dearly beloved and fellow laborer, you know, love puts you to work. The Apostle John says, don't just love in word. Love in deeds and action. Love will put you to work. And our beloved Apphia, probably Philemon's wife. And her name means productive. And if I asked the Lord, Lord, how is Apphia? Oh, she's productive. She's productive. Is there product in your life? Is there something being produced in your life by the Spirit of God? Is there the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, characters of the Lord Jesus being manifested in your life and mine? You know, there's a reality to Christianity. And the reality to Christianity is Christ. And much of Christianity today doesn't have Christ. You can be religious. You can be a Christian religious person, doing things and believing things without a personal relationship with the Lord. And God wants you to be in that intimate personal relationship with Himself through His Son. And only in that relationship and through that relationship can you really manifest the character of Christ. You can manifest some human qualities because of your personality and upbringing, but you cannot manifest, you cannot copy the character of Christ. I can be just like a nice, real nice sheep till you step on my toes, and then I'll growl like a wolf. How is that? Oh, because everything is undercover. Everything is contained by the environment. Not as much now in the world, so that's why we see so much corruption and wickedness. It was all there all the time in the hearts of men, but it was being held back. Well, Apphia, she was productive. And I'd like to thank all my sisters here that are productive in silence. You don't hear the sisters in the meeting, but I know many sisters here are very, very productive for the Lord. And in the day coming, the Lord is going to manifest His own personal appreciation of everything done for Him in quietness, in the home, in Sunday school, in whatever way service was done for Him, both for sisters and brothers, in a day coming. And Archippus, our fellow soldier. Well, you know, Archippus, it refers to him in Colossians. The end of Colossians. By the way, Colossians is written to pretty close to those that were in Philemon's household. Perhaps they were in Laodicea. I can't be sure about that, but they were pretty close. And they were to read letters from coming from one and another. But in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I don't know what he had received to do a service, his service which he had received. It says in the Lord, not necessarily of the Lord. Perhaps it was just something that the Apostle Paul asked him to take care of for him. Perhaps it was something more serious. But he does call him out publicly, you might say. And I tend to feel perhaps it was a little thing he was going to do in service for the Lord because he was asked to do that. If I ask somebody to do an errand for me or to buy a gift for a special occasion, I don't want to tell it what it is. I might say, don't forget to do what I asked you to do there. And it's not a reproach. It's just an encouragement. And I don't know what you've been asked to do in the things of the Lord or by the Lord. But it says to Archippus, take heed that thou fulfill it. After I was productive, and you and I, doesn't matter how old you are, you have a function in the body of Christ, if you know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, and you have a function and you have a service. There's something you need to be doing or to do for the Lord. And be sure to fulfill it. You're not going to be sorry that you fulfilled it. You'll be sorry you didn't. What a wonderful thing when everyone matches up to their names. Philemon is loving, Apphias productive, and Onesimus, we read about him later on in the epistle, he was profitable, he was useful, not wonderful. Well, all these characters we find in the Lord Jesus, and that's the name that you bear. So you can be loving, productive, profitable, a sower of peace, worker of peace, a comfort to others. These are all things that can be there, and I trust they are in your life. And if they're not, well, it's good to have conferences to shake us up a bit and remind us of the Lord's love and what we are in Him. And to be asked, how are you? And maybe I could be more loving and I could be more productive and more profitable, more of an encouragement to others. Well, Archippus, I had a little difficulty with his name there because Archippus, his name means, I think it's ruler of horses. But I was thinking of that as to rulers of horses is, you know, when I think of horses, I think of two things. It's actually two words. One is, whoa. And the other one is, pretty simple, eh? Whoa. And, well, you know, we need brothers to tell us, whoa, not so fast. Take your time. And we need brothers to go, a little bit of encouragement. Go ahead. Well, I'd like you brothers and sisters to be horse rulers. Because, you know, we all have the old man in us. And the old man needs to be told, whoa. And then we need to be encouraged to go ahead. Well, let's go on here. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like one moment, the end of verse 2. And to the church in thy house, I've enjoyed the thought, you know, that sometimes we have personal matters to discuss and we do it in private. Somebody was telling me once about a letter which was sent just to a brother, but then it ended up in the assembly. Well, it's nice to see here that the Apostle Paul, it was just, everything was open. It was to brother Philemon, it was no secrets. It was to the whole assembly. They could know what was going on. And perhaps they didn't read the whole letter, but they had the salutations from Paul, and they knew Paul had written something to Philemon, perhaps they wanted to inquire about. There was no difficulty there. It's nice to have this transparency of being in the same family, under the same Lord, having one mind, one spirit, one hope. So the church was meeting in his house. You know, there's something to be said for churches meeting in houses, and I think it suggests the thought of perhaps more fellowship and intimacy. It doesn't have to be that there's more, but there's occasion for more. And perhaps if we're not meeting in homes because of the assembly that's too large or it's not practical or for other reasons, may God help us not to lose the warmth of intimacy and fellowship of being together and being close to one another. It's easier when we meet in homes. So it's something to be concerned about if we're meeting in larger assemblies. You know, in just a little thought, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I might refer to this on different occasions as we speak this afternoon, but in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? And but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, and he's judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that as a God, that God is in you of a truth, is in the midst of you of a truth. So here's one coming into the church as it's being gathered, and he sees things. And then he says something. And when he went into Corinth, and if they were all speaking at the same time, they're mad. I mean, what's going on here? And then in another occasion, God is really here. Different perceptions based on how they were. How they were doing. How are the Corinthian saints doing? Pretty bad. Commended for some things, but there was lots to be addressed there. So if someone came into the meeting where you are, I'm sure you wouldn't experience that everybody's speaking at the same time. You might notice the godly order. Sisters in silence, head coverings. And you might say, wow, this is very orderly. But cold? Would he feel the cold? Or would he feel the warmth and the love and the joy at being noticed? Hey, hi, welcome. Glad to see you. How are you? How are you in the meeting? When a stranger comes in, we get in the corner to talk about it. There's a stranger over there. Makes him feel real comfortable. Well, I just mentioned this because, you know, what a privilege that we've had this morning. And that we have on so many occasions for the Spirit of God to open the thoughts from this book and to entertain our hearts about the one who satisfies God's heart, the Lord Jesus. And how God the Father would like so many more to be brought into the enjoyment, not only of salvation, but all the riches of these glories that pertain to the Lord Jesus, that we enjoy. And I trust we enjoy them and appreciate them and value this and seek to be in a state of soul, have a manner of the behavior that would encourage others and draw others to be in that same enjoyment. So the church met in his home, and I'm sure it had a special character of those that were there. But if we are more numerous, or if we're in a big hall and we're not that numerous, let's be conscious about that. If the Lord Jesus asked someone who came into your meeting, said, how were they? Were they welcoming? Were they warm? Did you feel I was there in their midst? Well, verse 3 and 4, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Notice the word all saints. This is the last epistle in my New Testament before the Hebrews. The Apostle Paul wrote, he wasn't sectarian. He had a heart for all saints. And it's something to be exercised about, you know, because we have to separate from so much. And there's so much we cannot go along with and condone. And we might be badly judged because of that. But our love shouldn't faint towards all saints, because they are precious to his heart. And if your heart and mind are in fellowship with his, they'll have room in your heart and mind. Even if it's just for prayer, they'll be there. But if we can do good to them, well, he did here. He was loving towards all saints, those that were in the local assemblies, those that passed by, and others outside too, we can show kindness to and show them the love of the Lord, because we are one body. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I had a little difficulty with this verse, but as I read it in French and thought about it some, I just would like to suggest a thought concerning that. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good work which is in us in Christ Jesus. That's how it reads in French. And it has to do, as I've understood it, that not only did Philemon have love for all the saints, but he had received those things that the Apostle Paul was teaching. And that his love and faith in the Lord to others might become effectual, and these ones too, being affected by what the Apostle Paul was ministering. And so, we can be loving and we can be caring, but let's not forget too that the desire of the Lord is for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We have it in our hands. There is the truth of God. We only know it in part. The Spirit of God is willing to minister and lead us into all truth. May we also have a real desire for all our brothers and sisters that they would be led on to enjoy these things and receive Paul's doctrine, the administration of God given to him for us. For we have great joy and consolation, verse 7, in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You'll find the word bowels in maybe three places here, and this epistle speaks of tender affections, deep affections. And then, you know, the Apostle Paul, the end of his life here in prison, he's an old man. I like the word mature love. His love that he experienced his own failures, but the love, unchanging love of the Lord. And he could love his brethren perhaps in a similar way, getting above their failures and loving them genuinely. Bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He calls Onesimus a little bit further down. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged and also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So Paul was in prison. Here was this slave who ran away from his master Philemon, and he meets up with the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul shares with him the Lord Jesus Christ, and Onesimus gets saved. And he says here, which whom I have begotten in my bonds. That doesn't contradict what we had this morning, you know, because it was really God doing the begetting that Onesimus became a son of God. But the Apostle Paul, he was involved with Onesimus. And he had a genuine concern for Onesimus. And he says, which I have begotten, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Not that he knew he was an instrument that God used, but he had special love and concern for this one, Onesimus, for his well-being. May God give us, dear ones, when we preach the gospel, when we present the Lord Jesus to others, that we might have a similar genuine concern for those that accept the Lord, for their well-being, that they might be well-counseled, well-nourished, well-preserved, helped out, helped along. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul, he had authority from the Lord. He was an apostle. Now, the Lord knows our characters, but maybe if I was an apostle, I'd say, I'm an apostle. You listen to what I say. The Lord gives me authority. That's not the character of the Apostle Paul, because that's not the character of the Lord Jesus. But here the Apostle Paul had full liberty to tell Onesimus, to tell Philemon what to do. But what sweetness in the way he presents his case. With delicate care for the feelings of Philemon. Not telling him what to do. Whoever here likes to be told what to do, put your hand up. Not too many. No, we don't generally like to be told what to do. We like to be asked, and we like to do people favors. But the Apostle Paul lets Philemon do him a favor. He says a little bit later on, he says, if you read in verse 20, Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. You refresh the bowels of the saints. Do this for me. Would you please? And then he goes on and he says, having confidence in thy obedience. He kind of covers it up right away because he knows Philemon. He's a dear brother. You know, if somebody says, would you do that for me? If somebody's a real close friend and you say, I beg you, would you lend me $5? You might upset him. What do you mean begging me? Why are you begging me? I'm your friend. You know, you can ask me. And so the Apostle Paul says right away, I have confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee knowing that thou would also do more than I say. So he brings it. He brings this request in humility. And he knows Philemon is going to do it. But he doesn't press it upon him. And once he's laid it before him, he says, I know you're going to do. You're going to do more than that. Because I know your obedience. Not your obedience to me. I don't believe. It's general obedience. Philemon had a character. Of those things that he had heard from the Lord, he put into practice. Now it's nice if you read Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Timothy is order in God's house. Even when there's disorder in God's house, there's ability to go on in order with those that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Then you get to Titus, and Titus tells us about good works. Because, you know, faith without works is dead. Hebrews 1 says that faith is the substance of things not seen. Substance or assurance or demonstration, there's something seen there of something that's not seen. Something's invisible. Now, there's a person invisible. It's the Lord Jesus. Here you are. We're 300 people here to hear about the Lord Jesus. Well, why are we here? Because of faith. Because we trust one we've never seen. And the proof of our faith is we're all here to hear about Him. And so, he had confidence in Philemon's obedience. What he had learned from the Lord as being the mind of the Lord, what he wanted, I believe he carried out in the measure that the Lord helped him. Well, the apostle says a bit earlier on that he would have retained Onesimus with him, that in thy stead he might minister, verse 13, unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. You know, things happen. And here's something that happened. The Apostle Paul was in prison, and there's Onesimus that comes from Philemon's household, and he gets saved. This is a fact. Now, we might have different ways of interpreting facts. We have a selfish way, and we have a loving way. If Paul had a selfish way, I know why the Lord saved him. Now I have a helper. Have somebody give me a hand. No? Paul says, well, maybe. But maybe the Lord just had in mind for Philemon to recover Onesimus, and Onesimus being in his household to be a faithful servant, now a brother beloved, to give him a hand with his work over there. And that's what he says. I didn't want to do anything without thy mind, that thy benefit might not be of necessity, but willing. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. So he sends him back. Generously, you might say. He could have said, I'm in prison. I need people to send letters and to do all this work for me. And he could have interpreted the facts to his advantage. He didn't. He said, perhaps. There are different ways of interpreting facts. May the Lord help us to interpret facts in a way that benefits generally more others than ourselves, which isn't my way naturally of doing things. But verse 22. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both of the law of Moses, out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding. But I'd just like to bring these thoughts together. You know, we read in the Acts of the Apostles, some have termed it, I believe rightly, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, where we have how the Spirit of God worked through the apostles in the early church to establish the testimony and to bring out the truth. And the Apostle Paul, you say the book of the Acts closes with the Apostle Paul in his own hired house, receiving all those that came to him, and it says, preaching those things that concern the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, no man forbidding, with all confidence, or heartily, no man forbidding him. We enjoy, dear ones, we enjoy this. We enjoy when we come together as we meet. And how do we meet? We meet according to the instructions we found in the Word of God, specifically in the writings of the Apostle Paul, minister to the church, that we might receive those things. And then we receive those things that were given to Paul through the Spirit of God for us for understanding. And it says, with all confidence, no man forbidding. Here we have in our hands what the Apostle Paul was led to write, that we can read and study and meditate upon and receive, and it's exhaustless like every other portion of the Word of God. And no man forbidding, without hindrances. We come to conferences, and it's nice to have, like our brother prayed this morning, this sense in our souls of the place we are. And we could ask ourselves, how are we? Dependent. Quiet. Waiting on the Lord. To be ministered to by a God who wants to minister to us. Who has a desire to address our souls, our condition, our need. And to bless us together. But if somebody of a strong character, used perhaps to different form of Christianity, would get up and perhaps minister many things that would be true, but he would take all or most of the meeting, that might prevent what we had here when Paul had his own hired house. It was his house, so he came out unto him, and he could invite you for a meal, and he could speak freely. And if you didn't like what he said, you could leave, you know. And this is what they did. The Jews, they left, and they had an argument among themselves, but Paul stayed there, and he was willing to communicate those things. Now, God has given us great liberty, those of us who are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great liberty and great opportunity. A wonderful window with heaven that the Lord can minister to us by His Spirit. But, being what we are, we could ask ourselves, how am I? Is this something that's fresh to my soul, that I'm sitting in the presence of the Lord Jesus, that the Spirit of God, indwelling my brethren and in our midst, has something for us, and I'm ready for Him to use whoever He will to edify us together in love? It's a wonderful thing. You know, if I read 1 Corinthians 14, let's go back to that chapter again. Verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. But the Apostle Paul is bringing before the Corinthian saints that because they were exercising this gift of tongues, and oftentimes they didn't know what they were saying or asking or saying or singing, that they should add to this intelligence, understanding. You should know what you're saying. You should know what you're singing. So they were singing by the Spirit. It's okay. But it should be with understanding. If somebody said something or gave out a hymn in a foreign language, we might hear what they're singing, but have absolutely no understanding of what they said. Well, that's not God's purpose, that we would be kept in ignorance. His purpose is to lead us into all truth. So if the Spirit is active, there should be edification. And there's no edification, there's no understanding. Now, generally speaking, this is not our difficulty. We don't speak in tongues, and we all speak English, and we can understand what's being said, and we have a rich heritage, inheritance of ministry, which is intelligent in the things of the Lord, that we can share and communicate one another about with much intelligence. But I'm sure you would object if I came to a meeting with one of Mr. Darby's books or Mr. Kelly's book, or and I stood up and I started reading. This is very intelligent. It's all intelligence. It's good. I never heard that before. It's good. Blessing. But you would say, Michelle, that's out of character, because we're gathered to the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and as much understanding as we can have, we're looking for the leading of the Spirit. You see, they had a lot of spiritual activity, but no understanding. We can have lots of understanding, yet fail in dependence, either in conferences or in our local meetings, in giving room for the Spirit of God to speak to the saints by one another. And I know in some assemblies there are only a few brothers, but it's good to be exercised. Even if you're in a small assembly and you're the brother that takes most part, it's nice to take a breath once in a while. And reflect. And listen. And listen. Because thoughts will come. Not your thoughts, the thoughts of the Lord. Because He wants the others to hear. Maybe the sister that is discouraged, something, somebody living something you don't know about. The Lord knows. And if you're quiet in your spirit, if you're the only brother speaking there, He'll give you thoughts from Himself. And you'll find out, maybe just later, that really helped me. That was a blessing to me. We can't plan that. We can't make that happen with our energy. But it will happen. It will happen because the Lord is faithful. And He is able. And all we need to do is to be dependent and waiting on Him. Now, if you and I come to a meeting, we're worldly 6 3/4 day a week, and we come to be spiritual in one meeting a week, might not happen very often. We might be made to feel that we've been feeding, eating, drinking the wrong food, the wrong drink. We haven't been spending time with the Lord. And if there's quietness and there's a realization of how poor we are, then you can have exercise. We shouldn't come to meeting having prepared what we're going to say, but we can come to meeting with prepared hearts. In fact, we should be coming to meeting with overflowing hearts. We should be spending time, and I trust we are, with the Lord outside of the time we spend with the Lord together in the meeting. Because if we don't, it's going to show up in the meeting. We're going to feel it. So, if the Lord said, if I asked the Lord, how are the saints in St. Thomas? Well, I trust He'd say, happy, going on in harmony. And how are the saints over there? Sleeping? I don't know. We answer that. The Lord was describing you as a person. How is Michelle? Well, there's things I need to be exercised about. I trust He'd have some good things to say. And I'm sure He has some good things to say about you too. He likes compliments. He likes to encourage us along. Not to puff you up, but to encourage you along. He sees those things that are done. He knows those things that you're involved in, and those things that you've done secretly and others haven't seen. Well, I just mentioned this in 1 Corinthians 14 because the Apostle Paul was requiring of Philemon for him to have a lodging there. That there would be a place there where the Apostle Paul could be, and if he was there, obviously he was going to minister. We need to make room for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But I suggest to you that you look at the character of the Apostle Paul in this epistle. And when Philemon is going to receive the Apostle Paul in this lodging, he was going to receive a humble man, a meek man, a gentle man, a man who had a genuine concern for others. You and I, brethren, we have the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Are we characterized by meekness and humility and a genuine concern for others? These things go together. The name that we bear is not the name of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is one who met up with the Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus, and he could say, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And if I could use the Apostle Paul as an example, and then he loved others and he gave himself for others. Because he was so loved and the Lord gave himself for him. Each one in our measure, as we enjoy the Lord's love for us, we can love others and give ourselves for the others. No man had greater love than this, and he gave his life for his friend. The Apostle John says in 1 John, looking for that verse, says, "Give our life for the brethren." But you know this verse.
3:16.
Thank you. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." What a nice carryover. He laid his life for us, and we give our life to the brethren. It's not really a martyr's life, it's just giving up your life for the others. Giving up your time, your energy, your resources for your brothers in the Lord Jesus. Well, I'd just like to finish off with a little something in connection with Paul lodging there in that area where Philemon was living, which was probably Laodicea. Imagine that, what a word, Laodicea. And you say, oh boy. Laodicea, it wasn't a lodging there for the Lord Jesus. Laodicea, he was outside. Revelation chapter 3, knocking at the door, looking for an entrance to sup with those that would open the door, and they would sup with him. This wonderful revelation from God about the Son of God, his work on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension in glory, the formation of the church, his body, he's coming from heaven to introduce us into glory himself. All these truths lost sight of. And the Lord Jesus himself, no place for him. But we can be thankful, dear ones, for every measure of truth that God has preserved to us. And we can pray that he would continue to preserve us. We look back on our history, in our personal lives, or in our assembly lives. There are many things perhaps to humble us. But I trust we've learned from them. I see the character of the Apostle Paul there at the end of his life. Say, beautiful character. He's not offensive in how he says things or how he behaves. He's very, very delicate in his way of handling others, not wanting to offend in any measure, wanting to make sure for Onesimus and everybody that he could help doing the right thing the right way. But you and I, dear ones, we have a privilege beyond words of being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being associated with that one that the Father has been pleased to reveal to us. How are we? Well, I would think, dear ones, that of all that's in Christianity, the ones who should, not that do, but who should reflect the most the character of the Lord Jesus Christ are those who have the unspeakable privilege of sitting in His presence. Are those who weekly get into the presence of God Himself in the Holy of Holies to praise and worship that one. To remember the anguish of Golgotha. To think of the terror and the darkness that went over His soul for each one of us and to have us all together. We should be the most affected of all Christians. We should be the most loving of all Christians. We should be the most productive of all Christians. And we should be the most profitable of all Christians. Am I? No. Are we? Well, you can answer that. But to think of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2011, we're here and we're reading the Gospel of John. And hearing about that glorious person. We don't deserve that. We never did and never will. Yet God in grace just sits it before us. And it encourages me. And I trust it encourages you. To be a real Philemon. And a real Apphia. And a real Onesimus. To be profitable and productive and loving. And with the help of God. In any measure there might be an increase in your life and mine. In your likeness to Christ. That He might be better known by those that God allows to be in your pathway, in your household, in your business, in your school. That you might be dipped in the dye of Christ and everybody you touch gets a stain of Him. Well, I just thought I enjoyed this very much in connection with Philemon. Little epistle at the end of Paul's epistle. Hebrews is a bit different. We can understand that, written to specific people. But one letter of intimate confiding and opening up of his heart and sharing the deep affections of his soul for Onesimus and for all the saints. And having one in Philemon who could answer to that, which he was concerned about and still very careful of how he comes before him, not to upset him in any way. And having a desire to be there, to be able to minister and to encourage the brothers and the sisters. And you and I, dear ones, we're at the end of the time. The Lord is coming very soon. May there continue to be liberty for the ministry of the Apostle Paul, but greater than that, that the Lord Jesus might still find a lodging in our midst where He can come and meet with His people and entertain us as to His glory, the glory of His Father, and those wonderful things that He's earned and merited for us by His dying on the cross, all these wonderful things that are coming for us when He comes from heaven. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, it says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Faith in the Lord Jesus. The object of our hope is the Lord Jesus. And love, oh, it's the love of the Lord Jesus for you and me that can make us to be able to love sinners and saints alike. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our God and our Father, we never thank Thee enough for our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for Thy word and Thy spirit. We thank Thee for the privilege Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for this wonderful truth of being Thy children now and having Thy spirit to have understanding. And we pray not only that we'd have understanding, but that we would be filled with Thy spirit and walk in a manner before Thee that's pleasing. And that we would be, as those characters we found in some names there, loving and productive and profitable, loving and kind and peacemakers, and all these things that we find perfect in Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus. We pray as we spend time together for these meetings and other occasions that it might be more true of each one of us. Help us, those of us that have failed badly, to be restored, and those of us that have gone wayward, to just set our sights on Thee again, Lord Jesus, and those of us who just need to be encouraged along that we might be today. We thank Thee, Father, for everything. In the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.